History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's driving the conversation in California today? Every weekday at this time, we explore a topic that's making news in our state. This is the State of California.
Good afternoon. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS political reporter and host of The State of California, along with Steve Scott.
As we have been reporting, Pope Francis died today from a stroke just hours after thrilling the faithful in St. Peter's Square with an Easter Sunday visit.
Yeah, it could take a few weeks for the College of Cardinals to elect his successor, and once again, that conclave could make history. Francis was, of course, the first Latin American pope, a cardinal from Argentina, who was also the first Jesuit to lead the world's Catholics. The frontrunners to succeed him as pontiff include a cardinal from the Philippines and another from the Congo, either of whom would be the first pope from their continent. For more on the death of Pope Francis, we're joined live today on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Richard Wood, president of the Institute for Advanced Catholic Studies at USC Los Angeles, and a leading expert on religion and democracy and Catholicism in the Americas. Thank you so much for being with us. All right, so Pope Francis was certainly a pope unlike any other before him. How do you think he will be most remembered?
Well, I think the core of his legacy is going to be around the tone he set of a welcoming church, a church who really was, as he said, para todos, for all, for everyone. I think that's a really important legacy. And then a couple of his teachings, I think, are going to continue into the future. One around what he called integral ecology, ways of talking about climate change and the environment, and the way that we human beings and our communities are part of nature, not somehow standing apart from nature. And his teaching on what he called social friendship, and in this time of such strong, virulent nationalism that divides people, he spoke very strongly about the need for social friendship across borders, and I think those are going to be really central to his legacy.
Dr. Wood, the mourning period for the Pope is just now starting, but already there's intense speculation about who will be the next Pope. And, of course, the recent film Conclave has enlightened people more on how that process works. Do you see any likely frontrunners, or does the fact that it is all secret ballot maybe say there aren't any publicly known frontrunners?
Yeah, well, there's, of course, speculation, but it is always just that. It's speculation. What I would say most confidently is the kinds of things that I think the cardinals might be looking for. I think there's a strong sense of continuity with Francis emerging. He's named a lot of the cardinals who will be choosing his successor. There's certainly some call for a radical change in the direction of the church, but I think that's a minority voice. I think they'll be looking for probably some continuity, but with someone who can help repair some of the inflow of funds to the Vatican. Vatican is has real financial difficulties and needs to buttress its finances, so it'll be looking somebody solid that way. People who are talked about, there's a Cardinal Pedro Parolin, who's seen as kind of the key figure inside the Vatican. The Secretary of State is one who's talked about, lots of talk about Cardinal Tagle in the Philippines as a potential successor from the Global South. There's a more conservative candidate, Cardinal Serra from Guinea in Africa, who's a favorite of that part of the church. Those are three names that are talked about, but there's another six we could talk about. And as you say, it's a conversation. It's people discerning. In Catholic terms, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, hopefully inspiring cardinals. It's all speculation at this point.
When you say that there's some sentiment for a radical change, in which direction? Is it that some people want to return to the more conservative stance of a Pope Benedict, or some want to push even further in the direction that Pope Francis has taken the church?
You know, these labels are always difficult in the Catholic world because the Catholic Church doesn't line up very well with the way we as Americans talk about progressive and conservative and things. But yes, what I meant was there are some calls from the kind of radical traditionalist side of the church for really a dramatic shift away from Francis's priorities. I think that's a minority voice, though.
You know, it's interesting that Francis was our first Latin American pope. There's talk of maybe an Asian or African pope. Will we ever have an American pope?
Yeah, you know, I think that's imaginable. I think there's a certain wisdom when so much money comes from the America is the wealthiest society in the world. There's a lot of power that comes with that financial power. There's probably some hesitancy to name an American pope just to not put so much power into the hands of the United States in the church. But it's conceivable. I think more likely might be, if they wanted to go that direction, might be a Canadian pope or a Mexican pope, someone from other parts of North America. But at some point, I think that's a likely possibility.
So you said that he has appointed many of the members of the College of Cardinals who will be voting on this. How much do you think his approach to migrants, to the poor, to Catholics on the margins of society has taken root within the church, not just within the College of Cardinals, but within the church as a whole?
You know, that's often talked about as sort of a radical change under Francis. He's made it a high priority, but that stance is deep traditional Catholicism, that sense of the church reaching out to the poor, reaching out to the vulnerable. Church provides, you know, some of the social services all over the world. A huge amount of work and dedication goes into that. That's a consensus position in the church. I don't think that changes no matter who the next pope is. Now, the priority he's given it, the way he's been so committed and articulate about it, that was new with Francis. But, you know, John Paul, Benedict, they all shared that commitment, just didn't make it as central a priority to their papacy as Francis did.
I wonder, how important do you think Francis's stance on the rights of migrants, his outreach to Latino Catholics, has been for Catholics here in California?
Oh, I think central. Given the polarized rhetoric in this country, the polarized social policy, the demonization of immigrants and refugees, I think Francis's courageous willingness to, I mean, as he would say, I think, simply speak the Christian message, the gospel, the deep Jewish ethical tradition on which the church out of which the church emerged. I think that's been very important for immigrants and refugees all over the world, including Californians.
Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Richard Wood, president of the Institute for Advanced Catholic Studies at the University of Southern California. Thank you so much for your time. Great talking with you. You can hear the State of California every weekday at 3:30 p.m. It's also available on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.